to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock at 3:01 on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon here in East Tennessee. Hope you're doing well. Hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. And we're back at it. Always kind of hard that Tuesday after Memorial Day.
Yeah, I still feel like it's Monday. I told you that earlier when we were talking. Like, it threw me off.
It's just hard to get back into it, man. Like, yesterday was so chill and relaxed.
There's nothing going on.
Yeah, and then it's like you got to kind of get, all right, let's do some work now.
We did have some sports yesterday, though.
Oh, yeah.
Had the rain-delayed Coca-Cola 600.
I missed that. Who won that?
Ryan Blaney.
Does anybody do the Indy 500, Coke 600, 500, whatever, double anymore?
No, there wasn't this year. Next year, Kyle Larson from Hendrick, he's going to do it. Like, I've seen videos.
Okay.
He's already gotten his.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's going to run.
Who was the last guy to do it? Tony Stewart?
No, I think it was.
Did Danica do it one year?
No.
Didn't she try to do it? She was going to do it or something?
She had talked about it, but didn't. The last person I'm positive of that tried, I think, was Kurt Busch, maybe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Kurt Busch did it. What a dork. First cheap shot of the week fired this afternoon, and we're off and running as it's bare. Marcus Young is here. Good afternoon, Marcus. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Russell. Doing very good.
Condolences to Marcus.
Thank you.
Congratulations to Jamie on the big L. He must be so happy.
Yeah,
his team lost a game 7 with an NBA Finals on the line. But now he gets to fire his coach. I mean, Joe Mazzulla taking quite the whipping this afternoon. And I would imagine there's a pretty good chance he gets fired. So Jamie must be happy. He got the loss, and he got the coach firing. So he's probably pretty fired up right about now.
Imagine he's pretty happy.
Do you think when Jason Tatum twisted his ankle on literally the first play of the game last night, was Jamie like, yes, harvesting our own ACLs?
I doubt that. Even knowing the depth of Jamie's depravity and just always wanting to fire his coach.
I could believe it.
Logan Quinton coming up in just a few minutes to talk Tennessee baseball. The Vols are headed to Clemson for the regional, and we'll talk to Logan about it. I'll admit, I kind of tuned out a lot this weekend from the UT stuff. It was good to get like a 3-day break. I was aware that, you know, I saw that, but I haven't read up on all the stuff yet. So I'm coming into this with kind of a blank slate approach. I know we're playing Charlotte. I know Clemson's over there, and
yeah, we got screwed with our pants on. I feel like on the draw.
I don't know. We'll find out. No offense. I'm sure you know what you're talking about. I think Logan knows what he's talking about a little bit more. So if he tells me we got screwed.
Well, I mean, we got matched up with the hottest team in the country.
That is true. They've won, 21 in a row? 21 of 22?
Yeah.
But they ain't played nobody, Paul. They ain't played no Tennessee yet. If we win, assuming we start Andrew Lindsey against his former team, Charlotte, Friday night, which hasn't been announced, but that seems like a logical assumption. I was just listening to Vitello a little bit. He said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We're not going to reinvent the wheel, I believe was his direct quote.
Okay.
Like, to me, hey, man, if we can beat Charlotte with Lindsey and we get to go up against Clemson in their place with Dolander on the bump and they can beat us, okay.
I mean, he's coming off his best outing of the year.
We got to score some runs when he's up there, man. We ain't scored no runs the past 2 or 3 times he's pitched.
No, we need to help him out.
So, Logan will drop some knowledge on that for us coming up here in just a second. SEC spring meetings underway in Destin. And there is much consternation. Will they go to the 8-game schedule? Will they go to the 9-game schedule? Will they stay at 8? And people tweeting at me last night saying, do you believers, you see Sankey saying 8. Ross Dellinger says it's going to be 8. Do you believe in the 8? Because yesterday, last week, I made it pretty clear. I don't believe for a second that they are staying at 8. I've never believed it. I think this is a negotiation playing out publicly with billions of dollars at stake. I believe they're going to 9. They're just trying to get as much money out of ABC, ESPN, Disney, whatever, as they possibly can. I still believe that. And I think that's all just part of a negotiation. Maybe it doesn't happen this week. Maybe it drags on for a couple more months or something. But I believe when all the dust settles, that we will have a 9-game SEC football conference slate with 3 permanent opponents and 6 rotators. Anybody want any of that action?
Not really. And normally I would wholeheartedly agree with you. I just, it's the Saban factor on it. So it doesn't sound like he wants to do the 9 games.
I don't think he gets a say, man. I really don't.
Okay.
Why? Like, who is listening to Nick Saban? Who's making this decision? Who are the power players are listening to Nick Saban other than just giving him lip service?
I know we talk about it with the SEC office. It just seems like Bam always gets their way.
Well, and, they it's a popular theory out there. I just see an old man who's on his way out. He's 70 years old. He ain't going to be here much longer. I just don't think. I think they will listen to him respectfully. I think Greg Sankey will listen to him, and anybody he knows in Charlotte will listen to him and be like, okay, yeah, Coach Saban, thank you. We appreciate your opinion. I believe he's 70, 69, 70.
Okay. I thought you said – I heard 78.
No. He's not that old, but, I mean, he's not a young man anymore, and I don't think he's going to be around that much longer, and I don't think that – even if he was in his prime, if this were 64-year-old Nick Saban right in the middle of a string of natties, I think they would still say – now, they might – he might get his way on the 3 permanent opponents. They might shuffle that and give Alabama a little bit easier road. But if it means $5 to $10 million more per school, guess what? They ain't let Nick Saban's protests overrule that.
Yeah.
So I saw that quote, a couple of the quotes yesterday from the Dellinger story, and it was something to the effect of, we're not doing this unless we get more money out of it. And to me, that was exactly what it said. We're not doing this till we get more money out of it. I believe the TV networks will
pony up.
Eventually. I mean, what else are they going to play? Get Up, Hard Take, First Take,
Undisputed.
Are they going to play that crap? Oh, they want to play football, man. They want to have football games to play.
Yeah.
They want to have good content. There's only so many hours of screaming A. Smith you can put on TV before people start to go insane.
It doesn't even take an hour for me.
Hope everybody had a good weekend. I had an eventful weekend, man.
Yeah.
It started as soon as I walked in the door Friday. I had a total debacle.
Complete disaster.
I come in to my house and just, immediately the poop hit the fan, and it was just a scramble for about almost 48 hours.
All hell broke loose.
Had a complete power outage at Stately Smith Manor. Uh-oh. An unbelievable. And it's holiday weekend, so, you talk about getting bent over a barrel by the electrical service company. I mean, I was just like, bent over the hood of the car with the electric company behind me. I'm just like at their mercy, just like, please, please, sir, please, be gentle. Newsflash, they were not gentle.
No.
So I had that to deal with, and we were supposed to go out of town. I did end up going out of town. My wife, God bless her, stayed home and handled that. I got to take little man to his first Braves game down in the ATL.
So you went ahead and went out of town? I didn't know that until just now. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I had tickets in a hotel room, man. Like, I'm just going to eat several hundred bucks. It doesn't make sense for both of us to stay. So I'm going to make it up to her. We're going to do something else later. But, like, the Braves game was a lot of fun. Braves played terribly, got beat by the Phillies. They had, like, three or four hits in the entire game.
Did y'all lose to the A's last night?
Yeah, got bludgeoned by the A's.
By the A's?
Yes.
Well, they won, like, 10 games this year?
Yeah, they're terrible.
Wow.
Braves are kind of, like, you know, best record winning percentage in the National League, but have not come close to hitting their potential. Like, that's the thing I like about where the Braves are at, is just there's so much room for improvement. Soroka came back yesterday. This is that guy's first. He had a double Achilles. He blew out his Achilles like 3 years ago, came all the way back, blew it out again, and has spent
the same one or the other one?
Yeah, the same one. He's been on like this mythical quest. I was watching that game, waiting for the basketball game to start, and like, you know, you're holding his breath, your breath. Yeah. Like the first, it took like four or five pitches, but I'm watching his first inning, and I'm just like,
thinking it's gonna pop again.
Oh yeah.
I wonder if he's lost a step.
Just on eggshells. He was doing really well until the fourth or fifth inning, and then like he just got blowed up. So, but it's good to see him back, and hopefully he'll round back into form. But yeah, that was my weekend. Is just, I mean, you talk about like the worst timing for a home disaster is on a holiday weekend like that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're just at their mercy, man. When you have to have service done. Like, I suppose I could have waited until today and just had no electricity at the house. I could have lost all the food in my fridges. We'd just been super hot. We could have gone to a hotel, stayed with friends, whatever. But we didn't want to do that. We wanted to.
And you pay a premium for not wanting to do that.
Yeah, I mean, they got you.
They got you, like, for sure.
It's just like, what do you do, man?
They offer you a cigarette or take you out to dinner after they got done rogering you?
No. They did have the nerve to send one of those like surveys, like,
oh God. They did not.
Yes.
Really?
They did, man. Hold on. I'm not gonna tell who it was.
Let me fill it out.
That's not how we do things around here.
We don't publicly shame people.
Yeah.
It's news to me and Marcus. Well, what do you think, Marcus?
Local businesses were
be careful.
Just wanted to send you a friendly reminder to leave a review for our business. Your support really means a lot. Thanks again for choosing.
I did great work.
Thanks again for choosing to get ruthlessly taken advantage of by a greedy, soulless corporation.
Did they give you kind of like the similar thing with like TV companies where they say, we'll be there between like 3 and 7?
The only thing I will give them credit for is like it was Friday night. I smelled a burning smell in my house. Now, when we moved in a couple of years ago, it was like the original electrical board and everything from when the house was built back in the late 60s. And the guy told me, he's like, look, this is going to have to be replaced eventually. Hmm. I just figured eventually would be like on a normal work week when we have, you know, we could shop around for better options and stuff like that, not on holiday weekend when we're planning to go out of town the very next morning. And all that stuff. But, like, it was, you know, it's scary. Like, you smell this burning. Your power is starting to slowly shut down. And it's like.
That was the weird part of it. What told me that.
What do I do? Do I, like, is my house about to burn down? Like, it was one of those things we just weren't going to just leave it like it was. But we're back, baby. We're back up and rolling. The Drive, Fan Run Radio, doing the thing, next to last day of May. Summer is here. We got Tennessee baseball in the NCAA tournament. We got the NBA finals, the SEC spring meetings, a lot going on this afternoon. Logan Quinton of the 920 podcast. Are we going to make that 920-mile journey to Omaha? Call me a sheep. I still like our chances. I still like our chances. We'll talk about it with LQ coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues.
I love when the organ kicks in.
Russell LeBaire back with you. Marcus Young hanging out. Just the three of us. Nobody wants to show up to Fan Run today. Even the interns are out.
What about, I thought Get Blitz did a show today.
Charlie Collier, he's a grinder, man.
He was in here today.
Logan was on with him. I think Logan's double dipping today.
Well, I mean, it's Logan's time to shine.
It's Logan Quinton's time.
Yeah.
Here on Fan Run. LQ, what's up, brother?
What's up, Phyllis? Yeah, absolutely. Doubleheader today for me. But I got to ask, I've noticed, what's with my walk-up song on your show? I don't even know what it is. I don't know if there's a theme there.
You don't know what song that is?
You kidding me? You call yourself a baseball guy?
That is one of the instrumental themes from the 1990s baseball classic Major League.
Gotcha. Okay, makes sense now. It makes sense.
I love it.
Hey, if you want to feel, I don't feel too bad because a guy that I do a lot of industry talk with, so when I was down in Hoover, you know, I'm watching all kinds of, there's all kinds of good games and some amazing athletes, right, that I was scouting. And it was my first time seeing Wyatt Langford outside of Lindsey Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And Langford was awesome. And I know you guys will know what song this is, but his walk-up song is Flirting with Disaster by Molly Hatchet, which I thought was awesome. And so I asked somebody in the industry about it and what he thought, and he was like, I've never heard of that. I couldn't believe it, but I thought it was a grade A walk-up song, especially for Langford.
I get fired up when I see the young people showing respect for the classics. Like, I'm pretty sure Charlie Taylor's walk-up music this year was Tom Sawyer by Rush.
Yes, it is.
It's just,
yeah, that's one of my favorites on the ball squad.
The first time I heard that, I was like, that's probably just like Charlie didn't send in his walk-up music in time, or they didn't have it handy. But then I heard it the second time and the third time. I was like, oh, man, like Charlie Taylor showing respect for the Holy Trinity. I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome to see, man.
It's pretty cool stuff. As we visit with Logan Quinton this afternoon, check out the 920 podcast. I'm sure he and Charlie will have a dynamite episode headed your way this week as Tennessee heads to Clemson for the regional. Logan, just your overall thoughts on Tennessee's draw this week.
So I said it on Charlie's show. The first thing that jumped out to me in terms of looking at the region is, wow, at the athleticism of the whole region top to bottom really pops out to me. Even at Lipscomb, they've hit over 100 home runs, and they're close to stealing 100 bases. You know, and it's a team that Tennessee's familiar with. They play year in and year out, and it's a bunch of unheralded guys that are really good athletes that, you know, I think if you're a scout going to this region, man, there's a lot of bang for your buck because you can cover all kinds of range in terms of picks in the draft and stuff like that. But as far as Tennessee going to the Clemson regional, that was like, I didn't expect it. I mean, it was probably option number four or five down the list because they were linked so much to Terre Haute, even Conway. But it works out in terms of drive time for fans. Maybe even that helps out with some travel with the team because it's the shortest distance out of all the options that were laid out there. Clemson, oh, man. They're the hottest team in the country, so that's what they got going for him. But aside from that, which that's not really where my mind goes to when I think about how the Vols could potentially match up with Clemson, it's a bad matchup to begin with. If you're the Vols, I've been kind of keeping my eye on this Clemson team for a long time, and they were a team, you know, they played South Carolina early in the season, and that was a really good gauge at the moment to see, because South Carolina was on a tear. Clemson, you know, South Carolina won that series, and I wasn't high on Clemson at all at that point, but I came away from that series thinking, man, they've got some really good athletes, some really good approaches offensively. If they could just piece together some things in terms of pitching, they have some upside. And I did not think that they would end the season the way they did. They even tore through the ACC tournament after being so hot at the end of the year. They're really athletic. They run the bases. They hit the contact. The best quick way I can describe it to people when they've asked me is imagine Kentucky on steroids. Like that's kind of what we're dealing with. And it's in general a bad matchup, but hey, at this point, if your sights are set on Hoover, and you're Tennessee, if you can come out of this regional, you're rolling with a full head of steam.
Bear thinks we got screwed, Logan. He says we got screwed with our pants on in this regional.
I did. I said it.
I mean, is that true or false in your opinion?
I mean, I'll say this. Clemson got screwed more than Tennessee did.
I will agree with that.
Interesting.
You know, nobody wants to see Tennessee rolling into their regional. And it is, like I said, it is, in general, it's a bad matchup. If you're on the Tennessee side. So I'm with you there, but like I said, you don't want to look too far ahead, but because first things are first, but it's matched up with the Auburn regional, and that's a far cry from Wake Forest, which was matched up with the Terre Haute regional. And I'm telling you, that Auburn region, that thing can get flipped on its top, not just with Southern Miss, but with Samford. I mean, if Samford squeaks out of that region, which I think there's a decent chance they can, and the Vols make it out of the Clemson regional, you're hosting. And then if Southern Miss makes it out, which they're my pick to win that region, then it's a two-on-two seed if the Vols win, and you're probably hosting a super at that point. It'd come down to the committee.
So if Tennessee wins this weekend, they're hosting no matter what, or does Auburn have to lose too?
Auburn would have to lose.
Okay.
So you want to root for Southern Miss or Samford, which I'm telling you, as good as Auburn has been, they've like been beyond expectations. Butch Thompson is a really good coach. I like what they're doing, but that's a really tight regional down there in Auburn. I'm telling you, Samford could upset the thing. My pick is Southern Miss. Southern Miss is an older squad with a lot of guys that have stuck around. And then they're headed by Tanner Hall, which is one of the better pitchers in the country, one of the only ones that didn't depart in the transfer portal because that pitching staff was so amazing for them last year. So they've kind of got what it takes to get out of that regional. I think they do. If it comes, they're the two seed, so if it comes down between them and, let's say, Tennessee wins the Clemson regional, it's up to the committee. Assuming both schools have submitted a proposal, I imagine Southern Miss has already done that for a super regional just because it's a better draw than a lot of people think. The capacity is similar to Lindsey Nelson, but it's going to come down to, hey, who can fit the requirements, the criteria in terms of logistics of hosting, who's the biggest ticket between the two. Danny White will probably put some things in the proposal to spice it up. And I give the edge to Tennessee in that regard. But Southern Miss is a lot higher draw than people would probably think.
Yeah, I mean, they must have more hotel spaces than Kentucky, who apparently
hey,
they've got nothing.
I've got more. You're at Quinton Manor. On the shores of Quinton Manor, I've got more space than Kentucky.
I've got a spare bedroom with an inflatable mattress down there if anybody wants to come by.
Yeah, $40 a night over here. I've got a tent my son, I'm sure, will let me borrow. I can pop a tent in the backyard.
Wow.
We can do our whole Airbnb. Yeah, that is crazy, man. I mean, how did they not, even if you have to set up something for the teams in Cincinnati, I mean, Cincinnati's not that far of a drive, right, from Lexington?
I don't think so. It's about an hour,
yeah.
Hour and a half, maybe.
That, or you just play in Cincinnati. I don't know if they've got I'm trying to think if they've got like a minor league team. I know that I looked at Louisville. Louisville has, you know, a AAA team, but I think they're home. Surely something could have been worked out there where you just hold the thing at Louisville because the college team's out of the tournament. I don't know. There had to be at least a handful of options they could have gone to. Than to just say, we'll make it work. We'll just throw them in the dorm, charge the teams, what is it, like $185 a night or something for each dorm?
So strange. It's so weird. I understand they've got a lot of things going on up there, but you would think that the NCAA would look unkindly on that. And you've got a lot of, like, West Virginia is one of the teams there, you know, those – parents of those players are going to want to see their kids play in the NCAA tournament, and they're going to have to stay in like Cincinnati and drive the way to Lexington, find a place to park and walk to the game like 3 days. That is just terribly
and it wasn't like this was a surprise, like the Kentucky was a surprise as a whole, but the last half of the year they were squarely in the top 8 of the RPI. They were number 1 for weeks. And so you had to know if you're University of Kentucky that, hey, we got to figure out some logistics here because chances are we're going to host.
It's funny you should bring that up. There's a lot of controversy right now with the RPI, and K-State's got that coach out there's got seems to me to be a very legitimate argument. Why are they not in? And there's two teams that are in the tournament that they finished in front of in the Big 12 and beat head-to-head.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an outrage.
It's a flawed system. Yeah, it's a bit of a flawed system. And, of course, like the SEC is going to skew a lot of those metrics, right? And it's – the SEC, as we've seen, a lot of fans around here that have grown a liking to the sport realize that, you know, the SEC is a league of its own pretty much, and they kind of skew those metrics. So I don't know, like, they're going to have to weight it differently or something. And then the fact that, you know, committee members, you know, pick this thing in their 80s or, you know, a who's who of people that are kind of been in or around athletics or college baseball or whatever. And, you know, they're going to interject bias. I mean, Arizona got in and they were just this time last week they were not in the tournament, and they had a good showing in the Pac-12 tournament, and they caught a lot of steam there at the end, and they have some firepower with a couple of their guys, so I wonder how much that played into it. But yeah, when you're talking about, you know, there's some teams, Kansas State, UC Irvine, a couple of teams that got left out that have a really good argument.
Talking with Logan Quinton, the 920 podcast this afternoon. We're talking Tennessee baseball. Logan, let's zero back in on the Vols here. Friday night, Charlotte, 6 p.m. How good is Charlotte? Who do you expect to pitch for the Vols? Do you stick with Andrew Lindsay against his former team? Are they too familiar? Do you just throw Dolander out of the gate? How do you see this first matchup? First things first, before we talk about Clemson, Charlotte's a good team. How does Tennessee get by them Friday?
Well, I think I would be surprised if it's anything other than what we've seen coming down the stretch as far as the rotation. I think you go with Andrew Lindsay. There would be a lot of kind of Hollywood script, so to speak, for lack of a better term, going up against his old team in Charlotte. And so there would have that drama element to it. I think Charlotte's ace is probably going to go. That's what it sounding like early on, but the problem is he pitched twice in their tournament last week, and the last outing was on Sunday, and I think he threw 100 pitches Sunday.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the early talk is that looks like they're going to go all in against Tennessee. But, yeah, I think it's Andrew Lindsay on the Vols going first on that Friday. That way, because, look, Andrew Lindsay, man, he takes such a genuine approach to what he's doing. And he truly, when I've watched him and talked to him this year, what he does about as well as any of the guys on the pitching staff, which is saying something, is he really hones in on pitch by pitch. What do I need to execute this pitch? And then out to out, you know, how can I get this guy out? He's so zoned in that regard that he's such a bulldog on the mound. And I think it really helps him kind of navigate this starter role, which he didn't have at the beginning of the season. I think you go with that. And then if something happens and you lose the game, you've got Chase Dolander in an elimination situation. So I don't see anything different in terms of a 1-2 punch for the Vols. But, you know, if you make it to Saturday, Sunday, then that's, you know, you're talking like, do you throw Drew Beam? Has Chase Burns come out of the pen yet? Do you want to start him? Cam Sewell? But I think it starts off with Lindsay and Dolander going 1-2.
Cam Fisher for Charlotte from Hardin Valley. I mean, you talk about all the storylines here.
Kid
played at Hardin Valley, leads the nation in home runs this year, 30 home runs for Cam Fisher from Hardin Valley Academy, and he will be in the lineup in a force that Tennessee has to deal with on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned there's another storyline. And, man, I'm telling you, this region is so, so tight in terms of, like I said, the athleticism and the fact that, you know, all these teams are in the top 50 in terms of whip. They all have a team whip of 140 or better. And, you know, and you think top 50, well, there's 64 teams in the field. Well, yeah, that covers a lot of ground. It really doesn't. If you go and look at the numbers, there's teams that just get by, particularly in the Big 12 and the Pac 12, that get by on their bats, you know, looking to get. There's teams with north of 5 ERAs and, you know, give up free bases like crazy. This is a region with Lipscomb and Charlotte that have really good mid-major talent. And Charlotte's got some firepower with Cam Fisher. They're a really good pitching team. It's a 1-2 punch pretty much from the starters, but they're really good all around. They're going to be a tough out. They really are.
Yeah, so that's at 6 p.m. And then you get into – you kind of hit it at this, Logan, with some advanced calculus here. Like if you win, I think – obviously, you go with Dolander if it's Clemson in day two. Now, if you were to lose and you're playing Lipscomb, yeah, it is an elimination game. But do you roll the dice and throw Beam and save Dolander for a potential, you know, Sunday elimination game, maybe against Clemson or Charlotte again? I don't know. There's just a lot of – I think you take it kind of game by game, and you have contingencies for every possible scenario if you're Tony Vitello. But it's going to be interesting to see how they approach this. And, you know, we talk about the pitching, like hitting-wise. We saw this team lay an absolute egg last week in Hoover. What do you think? I mean, does the time off do them good? Do they snap out of it? Do they come out there guns a-blazing, hammering the ball, or do you think that it's just like a, you know, roll of the dice as to who could be – which team could show up Friday?
Yeah, who knows if that time off actually helps. I mean, I know the guys at the media session today said that they've really taken advantage of it, but who knows? I mean, down there in Hoover, it was – it's pretty interesting to watch everything unfold. And you know, when you get to that Sunday matchup, it was ironic watching that Sunday game because most teams, and as the case was with A&M and Vandy, they're pretty much out of arms. You can just see it on Schlossnagel's face late in the game. He's just like, good grief, let's just get this thing over here and get out of here. And you're thinking, man, what if this was Tennessee? They could potentially have a Cam Sewell starting on that Sunday or a bullpen game of like Bryce Jenkins, Jake Fitzgibbons, Aaron Combs, I mean, Hollis Fanning. They would just have so many options in that scenario, and I think that's going to bode well for them in, you know, regional play when you have to kind of take it day by day, maybe make a bullpen game out of one day or something. But, yeah, it's the question mark is absolutely the offense. We know they're capable. It's a matter of day in, day out, can you be consistent enough to put together hits and be explosive on offense? And who knows if that time off is going to help. I mean, maybe it does just because the simple fact that this is a dose of what they haven't had in a long time. You know, that early in the season, they were just really ice cold. And then we saw them sweep A&M and really got the bats going that weekend. They never really had a time off, a reset, a chance to breathe. So we're about to see if that's, in fact, the difference.
All right, Logan, appreciate you, my friend. We'll be checking back in later on in the week. And anything else you care to add? Just, you know, thoughts on Tennessee, the media session. We're going to hear from Tony Vitello coming up a little bit later on in the show today or elsewhere around the country with the baseball tournament with just announced yesterday.
One thing to look at for, you know, Clemson in this regional, Caden Grice is a two-way player for them. He's the ACC's version of Jack Caglione. He's a two-way guy, really good pitcher for them, superb athlete, and he's great in the box, leads them in multiple categories, you know, both on the mound and in the box. Like I said, they're an athletic bunch. Austin Gordon is also another arm, another starter that's been a difference maker for them. But in terms of the whole landscape, like I said, as far as upsets go, I'm picking Southern Miss to flip the Auburn regional. I think Boston College may come away from the Alabama regional. And that Kentucky one that we mentioned, that's going to be a bar fight. There's not a huge degrees of separation from those teams, Indiana, West Virginia, Ball State. It's anybody's game in that region. And the way things are set up, like we talked about, the way teams with crappy situations in terms of housing, if anybody other than Kentucky makes it out of that region, watch out for that team, because that's a situation this time of year. A visiting team goes there and they're in unfamiliar territory, all these crappy, you know, housing situations. They'll be road dogs coming out of Lexington if somebody other than Kentucky wins that region.
He is Logan Quinton. Look for the 920 podcast wherever you listen to Fan Run podcasts. Coming up later this week with Charlie Collier. They are brought to you by our friends at Crumble Cookies. Two locations, Clinton Highway, the original, and in Turkey Creek, and coming soon to Merrillville. Logan, appreciate it, my man. Let's hope the cookie crumbles in Tony Vitello's favor this week.
Absolutely, fellas. Order Crumble Cookies.
Do it. All right, thanks, man. Logan Quinton making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. Russell Baer and Marcus Young cruising with you. Open up the phone lines here at 865-546-8200. 546-8200 if you want to chime in this afternoon. Your phone call's coming up.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Logan Quinton of the 920 podcast. Bear, what did you learn?
I didn't realize that, I guess I hadn't thought about it. If we had gone to Terre Haute.
Terre Haute,
we'd have been paired up with, like, if we made it out of that region, we'd be going to Wake Forest more than likely. So, And if Auburn somehow loses and we somehow win this weekend, we could go super regional.
I mean, that's not completely unheard of, right?
No, it's not.
I wish I had marked it down. I saw somebody on Twitter, one of these college baseball, college baseball insider Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very unique place, man. You talk about niche.
And I would have said strange.
Like,
but
you got to look for it. I mean, it's not strange. Like, these people are really into college baseball, but I just don't see it. Like, we follow all the college football accounts, right? So you got your,
if anything happens in college football.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You got to look for the college baseball. It's a world that, like, Logan's in it and
Collier's
in it. Like, we know the people who are in that. I'm just like,
we got some baseball buddies.
I want to be in it, but it's almost too much.
Yeah, it's
a lot.
It's way too much, and they all have almost a Rain Man like.
They have their own language.
Yeah, and it's just numbers and.
But anyway, one of these guys said that he had the odds of making the College World Series.
Right.
And Tennessee's was at like 26%.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It was higher than a bunch of other teams that are hosting, including Arkansas.
Yeah, on the odds I saw, I think we're like at plus 1,500.
That's why, like, I can't get with the, we got screwed. Like, if we have a better chance statistically to make it to Omaha than Arkansas does, it's one of the top five or six teams in the country and is hosting a regional at their amazing palace of a ballpark, then I tend to think that we're okay.
Yeah.
And, Clemson ain't seen a Dolander yet. And, I mean, if Dolander's on, I kind of like his chances going up against them.
Against Clemson? Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm just so nervous just because it's on the road.
I'm much more worried about our hitting than I am the pitching.
I am as well.
Now, the only question I have is, do you start Lindsey against Charlotte? Like, is there a familiarity factor there? Will they have a better scout on him than other teams would? Like, I get what Logan said, there's a storyline there. Yeah, we want to see Lindsey perform well against his old team. That would be cool and everything. But you can't factor that in if you're Tony. You cannot think about that at all.
No.
You have to think about what is the best path to get out of this thing.
I don't think he's going to overthink it, because I think he's the kind of, just from talking to him, I mean, he's basically said that. He's not going to overthink it.
No, I mean, I think he will start Lindsey, Dolander game two and Beam it Sunday, and then you do whatever you have to if you're playing Monday. But I wouldn't lock it in, man. I don't know. That's me. I worry about everything. I'm a worrier. Like, what if Charlotte has the book on Lindsey? It's something to consider.
Find out pretty quick.
Something to consider, right?
Yeah. I guess they're going to be – looks like they're going to start their transfer from Kentucky.
Who, Charlotte?
Yeah.
Is that the ace that Logan was talking about, the guy who threw 100 pitches Sunday?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think I don't know what the rest of their
Wyatt
staff.
Wyatt Hoodpole.
I don't see it. I don't know how to spell that. I'm 99% sure you're mispronouncing that.
Oh, I 100% would not be surprised. Hoodpole.
See, it's easy to say with Tennessee's pitching staff, I would save this guy, I'd do this, I'd do that. I don't know what their depth is like. All I know is if I had an ace that had pitched twice in the conference tournament last week, including throwing over 100 pitches on Sunday, I'd be very hesitant to throw him out there again on 4 days rest. I would be much more likely to save him for an elimination thing. But then you get into what we were talking about with Logan. Do you throw your ace against Lipscomb and burn him in that situation? I don't know. A lot to think about. Let's talk about it. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 546-8200. El Diablo in the leadoff spot today. What's up, Diablo?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, and I hope everyone had a great Memorial Day weekend. Listening to your guest speak, it doesn't sound very optimistic about starting to book reservations for Omaha. You know, you say you're worried about the hitting, Russ, but I tell you, with the pitching, we can't hold runners. And despite the team that we're playing, Charlotte, are we playing them first? I think every other team in that region steals bases very well. And for us, we get guys on base, man. They're already standing at second and third base. There's no margin of errors, and I never have understood why all year long our pitchers could not develop a slide step.
Well, this has been a recurring theme. I mean, even last year, as good as the team was, teams just ran wild on Tennessee. And what I've heard, and I mean, Tony's basically said this, is, look, it's Frank Anderson's pitching staff. We let him run the show. Guy's been a head coach before in this league. He's forgotten more about pitching than any of us will ever know. And he just doesn't value it. He doesn't value throwing out runners. He values throwing strikes, getting hitters out. And so,
and I get that.
Yeah.
But don't those guys need to have that for the next level?
Yeah. Yeah, they absolutely do, and they absolutely will. But it was a problem last year. It was a problem this year. I don't expect it to have magically changed by this weekend.
No, I agree. Hey, changing subject, and this might be a Marcus question. NBA Eastern Division Finals, would you have rather just seen your team get swept in four games, or would you rather just waited and gone through the humiliation like last night of seeing your team get hammered at home in front of a home crowd and get literally humiliated? What would have been the better outcome there, Marcus?
I'm pretty sure getting swept is more humiliating than coming back down 3-0 and at least five. And I'd also like to point out, you had Jason Tatum, who had an ankle injury at the first play of the game, and there's been reports that Robert Williams was like vomiting in between timeouts and things like that in like the hallway.
Well, I think the Boston fan base joined him there by the second quarter, because they're, why you keep shooting 3-point shots? I mean, you know, if the guy gets fired, and I hope he does, and I think it's his first year, and maybe he learns from this, but you just can't keep jacking up three after three after three when they're not going in, and there was no in-game adjustments. And let's face it, Spoelstra just bent him over right there on national TV.
Was Mazzulla shooting the threes on the court, or were those the players that were making some of those decisions?
He's I know, the coach. He'd tell them what to do, can't he?
I'm not saying he can't, but you're going to tell me that those guys feel like they have an open shot, they're not going to take it?
Well, I feel like with Tatum, Gimpy, Brown knew that he had to rise to the occasion, and he just couldn't. Nobody could. I feel like if Tatum is on and he goes for his normal 30, it's probably a down-to-the-wire game. Maybe Boston wins. One of those bad luck things. Thank you, Diablo. Appreciate it. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up next on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.